This changes everything. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we'll look at it, because one of the greatest forces that is coming, that is developing in a great and tremendous way, is AI, artificial intelligence. And did you know that there are traces of prophetic foretelling of that in the Bible? And that what is happening with AI today will lead to the coming one world government, one world religion, and the mark of the beast. So let's look at some biblical prophecy, and let's understand what Jesus said. In the book of Revelation, Jesus said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending." So he's telling us that he is God who knows everything from the beginning to the ending and everything in between. He also said concerning the word of God that your word is the truth, meaning that everything we need to know from God is contained in the Bible. And it's put in there in such a way that much of it has been hidden, and the keys to understanding that is a very basic thing. So remember this. The Word of God is true. The prophecies are true. They will come to pass, and they will come to pass exactly as God has said. Now let's begin in Daniel, the 12th chapter. And let's examine a very small but very important scripture that tells us about the end time, the time we are living in today. Because if you don't know it, we are actually living in biblical prophetic times at this minute. So Daniel 12 and verse 4. Okay. Now, Daniel was given all of these prophecies, and we have series that go through them. We have a whole series on Daniel and Revelation, so we won't get into any of that. But here at the end of all the prophecies that Daniel was given, here's what God told him. Verse 4, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end." Now, the time of the end in the latter days is described in many places in the Bible. We'll look at a couple of those. Now, notice this next sentence. This is a key sentence that has such a vast fulfillment that it's almost like a one cell that creates a whole body. Notice, "Many shall run to and fro." Now, think about that today. Think about all of our transportation. Think about all the ways that people come and go. Think about all the ways that many worldwide, and that's another key. A lot of these prophecies are worldwide. And we will see that Jesus himself said that we would see these things take place. All right, now let's continue. "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Now, I want you to take both of those and think about how this one verse and this one sentence within that one verse explains the whole vastness of what's happening in the end time on the earth today. Because, you see, the prophecies of God are not just for religious people. The prophecies of God are for those who are God, belong to God, believe God, love God, and keep his commandments, and for all the world, so that the world can never say, "God, you never told us." Well, here it is. We're going to look at some of it today. Now let's look at verse 9 and see what else it is said. Okay. because these things were not understood until now, at this very time. Now, there have been times in the past when it came close. There have been times with plagues. There have been times with disasters. There have been times with war when everyone thought, well, Jesus is coming soon. But not all the pieces of the puzzle were put together. Now, notice verse 9. When Daniel wanted to know, when is going to be the end of these things? Then the angel told him, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Okay? Now then it says, and many shall be purified. And that means all of those who are brought into relationship with God through the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ to have their sins forgiven and become purified so that they will be in the first resurrection. Now, we'll talk about that next week, okay? Be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. Now, do the wicked really understand they're doing wickedly? Who is wicked? Everyone who doesn't keep the commandments of God has a degree of wickedness. The ultimate in wickedness is open worship of Satan, the devil. An open worship of Satan, the devil, causes the collapse of any civilization, empire, or country, or community, or person. And none of the wicked shall understand. Why? Because they don't believe God. And the wise shall understand. All right? Now, how do they understand? When, with God's Spirit and the events that are around, that are taking place in their lifetime, we use the Word of God and we look at what He says and then we look at what's going on. And so today, we're going to see a major, giant step forward toward the bringing in of a one world government, one world religion, and the mark of the beast. Now let's come to Matthew 24. And let's see what Jesus said concerning the prophecies. And let's see that it comes down to the last generation. And we will look at some of these things here as well. Verse 34. Truly I say to you, this generation. Now, that is the end time generation. Now, we'll come back to the other prophecies in Matthew 24 in just a little bit. This generation shall in no wise pass away until all these things have taken place. And then we will see what Jesus told us to watch for. And he says, when you see. Now then, but concerning that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Okay? What was that like? Says they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. But what was the key verse there in Genesis 6 and verse 5? It says, the thought of everyone was only evil continually. And that's why the flood came. All right? Now, let's look at what Paul wrote about men and then what they do, and how they do it, and all the activities of men without God. And it also shows that those who do it without God have also previously rejected Him and rejected what was right in their very face, which proved that God exists. Let's come to Romans 1. Verse 18. Now this has happened over again. And as we read this, you will see that these here identify the reasons why all of these empires and nations have collapsed and why at the end time, if Christ doesn't return, that we would destroy ourselves. Verse 18. Indeed, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Isn't that what is happening today? Can people even speak the truth about things in government and law that are taking place and all the wickedness and stupid things that are going on? No, they're cut off. And the knowledge of God? How can you get the knowledge of God? Well, if it weren't for live streaming and YouTube and Facebook and other things, getting the word of God out, no one would ever know. Because those channels now, which control all religious input on the television channels, are controlled. And controlled, who brings the control? Satan, the devil, brings the control by incremental steps of reducing the amount of truth that can be spoken. Suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest among them. Now, how is that knowledge of God made known to all people? Well, God has caused the Bible to be translated into 3,000 different languages, and it's the most published book in the world. It is the most digitized book in the world, and no one on earth today has an excuse to say, I don't know. All right? God's word is there, and God's word is there for those who believe him, who obey him, and who love him, so they can understand the times they're living in. Let's read on. For God has manifested it to them. For the invisible things of him are perceived from the creation of the world. See? Everything shows there is a creator. And after 250 years of Charles Darwin, they haven't yet found one missing link. Because evolution never happened. Now God says this, understood the things that are made, both his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. But when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations or own reasonings, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, when a heart is darkened, it is enlightened with the darkness of the knowledge of Satan. A lot of people don't understand that. Their hearts were darkened. Now, we're going to hear a presentation of a very smart man, one of the smartest in the world, about AI. Not once does he mention God. Not once does he mention anything about the creation of God. It's all about information and men and chips and robots in the end run. Okay? Now notice, verse 22, while professing themselves to be wise, or the wise ones, this is the elite of the world. And the elite of the world, Satan told Jesus when he was tempted that he owns it all. Everything in the world, all the kingdoms of the world. And that if Jesus would bow down to him and worship him, Satan would give him the whole world. Well, this tells us the elite of the world worship Satan, the devil, and all of their things that they do are to destroy human beings and to gain power. Here's what happens. While professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image and likeness of corruptible man. What is a walking robot humanoid? Huh. Made in the image of man? And they have all of the chips and everything to give it intelligence? That it will talk to you? And their whole goal, that is their God. Robots. And who's behind that? Satan. Corruptible man and the birds and four-footed creatures and creeping things. Now notice what happens. When that happens, God acts. For this cause, God also abandoned them to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to disgrace their bodies between themselves. And this tells you why we have all of the Sodom and Gomorrah virtues brought on this country and brought on the world, because it comes from Satan the devil. Okay? Now this is quite a thing when you understand it. Let's look and see how Satan comes. Let's come to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and let's see how Satan comes. He doesn't come and say, I'm the bad, wicked, evil Satan. He comes and says, oh, you want to be wise? I'll show you how to be wise. I'll bring you a benefit. And that's what people don't understand. When Satan operates, he brings a benefit first. Okay? Now notice what Paul wrote concerning the religious ones here. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. Yes, what did he say? You'll be wise. And you won't die. See, and the whole goal of all of these things and all of the religions is a way of living forever. Think of that. Okay? So that your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that has happened to Christendom in the world today. The Protestants, the Catholics, they don't know very much at all about the truth of God. Okay? Verse 13, for such are false apostles. Now, apostles means religiously top religious leaders. Politically, top political leaders. Scientifically, top scientific leaders. Education, top education. See, because Satan has corrupted every one of these things that we have today by coming in and infiltrating them and taking them away from the word of God and taking them away from the truth. Okay? For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, who are transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. For no marvel. Now notice this. No marvel. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. I will bring you wisdom and light. Okay? Now then, therefore it's no great thing that his servants also transform themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, let's apply that to all of these segments that I mentioned. Religion, government, education, science, and the scientists are working there. Medicine, pharmaceuticals, all have been infiltrated and taken over by Satan the devil. But the most powerful has now come on the scene, and it is AI. So we're going to show you a 16-minute clip from Jensen Huang and VIDA, the largest company in the world, at $3 trillion and soon to be $9 trillion because of what they have invented with their AI machines. This will be astounding, and you will have a clue as to how knowledge has increased and what they're going to do with it, because AI is going to affect everything in the entire world in every phase of human life. So we'll go ahead and watch this 16-minute clip and pay attention to it. I know a lot of it you won't understand, but you need to grasp what he is saying and how it's going to affect the whole world. And this will be the driving force to bring in and usher in the final prophecies in the book of Revelation.
This last 60 years, we saw several tectonic shifts in computing where everything changed. And we're about to see that happen again. The further performance we drive up, the greater the cost decline. Hopper platform, of course, was the most successful data center processor probably in history. However, Blackwell is here, and every single platform, as you'll notice, are several things. You've got the CPU, you have the GPU, you have NVLink, you have the NIC, and you have the switch. Every single generation, as you'll see, is not just the GPU, but it's an entire platform. We build the entire platform. We integrate the entire platform into an AI factory supercomputer. However, then we disaggregate it and offer it to the world. Our basic philosophy is very simple. One, build the entire data center scale, disaggregate it, and sell it to you in parts on a one-year rhythm, and we push everything to technology limits. Whatever TSMC process technology, we'll push it to the absolute limits. Whatever packaging technology, push it to the absolute limits. Whatever memory technology, push it to absolute limits. SerDes technology, optics technology, everything is pushed to the limit. Well, Blackwell is here. Next year is Blackwell Ultra. Just as we had H100 and H200, you'll probably see some pretty exciting new generation from us for Blackwell Ultra. Well, this is the very first time, and I'm not sure yet whether I'm going to regret this or not. We have code names in our company, and we try to keep them very secret. Most of the employees don't even know. But our next generation platform is called Rubin. So we have the Rubin platform, and 1 year later, we have the Rubin Ultra platform. All of these chips that I'm showing you here are all in full development, 100% of them. And the rhythm is 1 year at the limits of technology, all 100% architecturally compatible. So this is basically what NVIDIA is building, and all of the richness of software on top of it. So in a lot of ways, the last 12 years, the company has really transformed tremendously, and I want to thank all of our partners here for supporting us every step along the way. This is the NVIDIA Blackwell platform. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Blackwell. This is our production board. This is the most complex, highest performance computer the world's ever made. This is the Grace CPU. And these are, you could see each one of these Blackwell dies, two of them connected together. You see that? It is the largest die, the largest chip the world makes. And then we connect two of them together with a 10 terabyte per second link. And the performance is incredible. Take a look at this. The AI flops for each generation has increased by 1,000 times in 8 years. And so just to compare, even Moore's Law at its best of times compared to what Blackwell could do. So the amount of computations is incredible. And whenever we bring the computation high, the thing that happens is the cost goes down. The amount of energy that is used has gone down by 350 times. Well, Pascal would have taken 1,000 gigawatt hours. 1,000 gigawatt hours means that it would take a gigawatt data center. The world doesn't have a gigawatt data center. But if you had a gigawatt data center, it would take a month. If you had a 100 megawatt data center, it would take about a year. And that's the reason why these large language models, ChatGPT, was impossible only 8 years ago. With Blackwell, what used to be 1,000 gigawatt hours to 3, an incredible advance. Our token generation performance has made it possible for us to drive the energy down by 45,000 times. Okay, so Blackwell is just an enormous leap. Well, even so, it's not big enough. And so we have to build even larger machines. And so the way that we build it is called DGX. So this is a DGX Blackwell. This is air-cooled, has 8 of these GPUs inside. Look at the size of the heat sinks on these GPUs. About 15 kilowatts, 15,000 watts, and completely air-cooled. This version supports x86, and it goes into the infrastructure that we've been shipping Hoppers into. However, if you would like to have liquid cooling, we have a new system. It's based on this board, and we call it MGX for modular. So this one node has 4 Blackwell chips, and these switches connect every single one of these Blackwells to each other so that we have one giant 72 GPU Blackwell. This now looks like one GPU. This one GPU has 72 versus the last generation of 8, so we increased it by 9 times. The amount of bandwidth we've increased by 18 times. The AI flops we've increased by 45 times, and yet the amount of power is only 10 times. This is 100 kilowatts, and that is 10 kilowatts, and that's for one. You could always connect more of these together, and I'll show you how to do that in a second. There's this confusion about what NVIDIA does. How is it possible that NVIDIA became so big building GPUs? And so there's an impression that this is what a GPU looks like. Now, this is a GPU. This is one of the most advanced GPUs in the world, but this is a gamer GPU. But you and I know that this is what a GPU looks like. This is one GPU. Ladies and gentlemen, DGX GPU. The back of this GPU is the NVLink spine, and it's right here. This is an NVLink spine. And it connects 72 GPUs to each other. This is an electrical, mechanical miracle. The transceivers makes it possible for us to drive the entire length in copper. And as a result, this switch, NVLink switch, driving the NVLink spine in copper, makes it possible for us to save 20 kilowatts in one rack. 20 kilowatts can now be used for processing. Just an incredible achievement. So this is the NVLink spine. And even this is not big enough. Even this is not big enough for AI Factory, so we have to connect it all together with very high-speed networking. Well, we have two types of networking. We have InfiniBand, which has been used in supercomputing and AI factories all over the world. And it is growing incredibly fast for us. However, not every data center can handle InfiniBand because they've already invested their ecosystem in Ethernet for too long. And so what we've done is we've brought the capabilities of InfiniBand to the Ethernet architecture, which is incredibly hard. Ethernet was designed for high average throughput because every single node, every single computer is connected to a different person on the Internet. And most of the communications is the data center with somebody on the other side of the internet. However, deep learning and AI factories, the GPUs are not communicating with people on the internet. They're communicating with each other because they're collecting partial products and they have to reduce it and then redistribute it. Chunks of partial products, reduction, redistribution. That traffic is incredibly bursty and it is not the average throughput that matters. It's the last arrival that matters. It's whoever gives me the answer last. Okay? Ethernet has no provision for that. And so there are several things that we had to create. We created an end-to-end architecture so that the NIC and the switch can communicate. And we applied 4 different technologies to make this possible. Number one, NVIDIA has the world's most advanced RDMA. And so now we have the ability to have a network-level RDMA for Ethernet that is incredibly great. Number 2, we have congestion control. The switch does telemetry at all times incredibly fast. And whenever the NICs are sending too much information, we can tell them to back off so that it doesn't create hotspots. Number three, adaptive routing. Ethernet needs to transmit and receive in order. We see congestions or we see ports that are not currently being used. Irrespective of the ordering, we will send it to the available ports, and Bluefield on the other end reorders it so that it comes back in order. That adaptive routing, incredibly powerful. And then lastly, noise isolation. There's more than one model being trained, or something causes the last arrival to end up too late. It really slows down the training. Well, overall, remember, you have built a $5 billion or $3 billion data center, and you're using this for training. If the training time was 20% longer, the $5 billion data center is effectively like a $6 billion data center. So the cost impact is quite high. Ethernet with Spectrum X basically allows us to improve the performance so much that the network is basically free. And so this is really quite an achievement. We have a whole pipeline of Ethernet products behind us. This is Spectrum X800. It is 51.2 terabits per second. The next one coming is 512 radix, is 1 year from now. 512 radix, and that's called Spectrum X800 Ultra. And the one after that is X1600. But the important idea is this. X800 is designed for tens of thousands of GPUs. X800 Ultra is designed for hundreds of thousands of GPUs. And X1600 is designed for millions of GPUs. The days of millions of GPU data centers are coming. And the reason for that is very simple. Of course, we want to train much larger models. But very importantly, in the future, almost every interaction you have with the internet or with a computer will likely have a generative AI running in the cloud somewhere. And that generative AI is working with you, interacting with you, generating videos or images or text, or maybe a digital human. And so you're interacting with your computer almost all the time, and there's always a generative AI connected to that. Some of it is on-prem, some of it is on your device, and a lot of it could be in the cloud. These generative AIs will also do a lot of reasoning capability. Instead of just one-shot answers, they might iterate on answers so that it improves the quality of the answer before they give it to you. And so the amount of generation we're going to do in the future is going to be extraordinary. Let me talk about what's next. The next wave of AI is physical AI. AI that understands the laws of physics. They have to, of course, have excellent cognitive capabilities so they can understand us, understand what we asked, and perform the tasks. Of course, when I say robotics, there's a humanoid robotics that's usually the representation of that. But that's not at all true. Everything is going to be robotic. All of the factories will be robotic. The factories will orchestrate robots, and those robots will be building products that are robotic. Robots interacting with robots, building products that are robotic. Well, in order for us to do that, we need to make some breakthroughs. First, we're going to create platforms for each type of robotic systems. One for robotic factories and warehouses. One for robots that manipulate things. One for robots that move. And one for robots that are humanoid. And so each one of these robotics platform is like almost everything else we do. A computer, acceleration libraries, and pre-trained models. Computers, acceleration libraries, pre-trained models. And we test everything, we train everything, and integrate everything inside Omniverse, where Omniverse is where robots learn how to be robots. Now, of course, the ecosystem of robotic warehouses is really, really complex. It takes a lot of companies, a lot of tools, a lot of technology to build a modern warehouse. And warehouses are increasingly robotic. One of these days will be fully robotic. Now let's talk about factories. Factories has a completely different ecosystem. A robotic factory is designed with three computers. Train the AI on NVIDIA AI. You have the robot running on the PLC systems for orchestrating the factories. And then you, of course, simulate everything inside Omniverse. Well, the robotic arm and the robotic AMRs are also the same way, three computer systems. And we provide the computer, the acceleration layers, and pre-trained AI models. We've connected NVIDIA Manipulator and NVIDIA Omniverse with Siemens, the world's leading industrial automation software and systems company. This is really a fantastic partnership, and they're working on factories all over the world. And that's the factory, the robots inside, and of course, all the products are going to be robotics. So there are two very high-volume robotics products. One, of course, is the self-driving car, or cars that have a great deal of autonomous capability. NVIDIA, again, builds the entire stack. Next year, we're going to go to production with the Mercedes fleet, and after that, in 2026, the JLR fleet. The next high-volume robotics product that's going to be manufactured by robotic factories with robots inside will likely be humanoid robots. And this has great progress in recent years in both the cognitive capability because of foundation models and also the world understanding capability that we're in the process of developing. I'm really excited about this area because obviously the easiest robot to adapt into the world are humanoid robots because we built the world for us. We also have the most amount of data to train these robots than other types of robots because we have the same physique. And so the amount of training data we can provide through demonstration capabilities and video capabilities is going to be really great. And so we're going to see a lot of progress in this area. Well, I think we have some robots that we'd like to welcome. Here we go. About my size. And we have some friends to join us. So the future of robotics is here. The next wave of AI. And of course, you know, Taiwan builds computers with keyboards. You build computers for your pocket. You build computers for data centers in the cloud. In the future, you're going to build computers that walk. And as it turns out, the technology is very similar to the technology of building all of the other computers that you already built today. So this is going to be a really extraordinary journey for us. Thank you all for coming. Have a great Computext.
That was a very interesting presentation. I myself have watched it at least four times so I could grasp what he was saying. And I know that it was difficult for a lot of you to try and follow along with what he's saying. But it's good for you to know that this is an amazing thing that is taking place and that it's going to affect everyone in the whole world. And it's going to usher in the last prophetic events in the book of Revelation. But just like we started out, Jesus said he's the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. Let's come back to the book of Genesis and let's see where there was a time very similar to what we have today. And the knowledge increasing and all that is being done for all of these artificial intelligence and all of the robots that they're going to make and so forth. And that's another whole thing we'll get into a little later. Genesis 11, in verse 1, because like Jesus said, in the days of Noah, well, there were the days of Noah before the flood, and there were days of Noah after the flood, in fact, 350 years. And people were developing. Now, this gives us a hint in Genesis 11 of what took place before the flood. So let's read it in verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. What is the universal language today? English, spoken, digital. That's universal. All right? And it came to pass as they were migrating toward the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they settled there, and they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they made bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. Of course, that's in the area of what is called a rock today. And oil and and things were just oozing out of the ground. So they had all of their, that there. And if you watch any specials on ancient Babylon, that's what they used to waterproof their boats. And that's what they used to waterproof the walls that they built so the river Euphrates would flow through the middle of the city but be barricaded by the walls that they built but were overlaid with the bitumen. And they said, come, let us build a city and a tower and its top reaching into the heaven. Now, isn't that what they want to do today? Don't they want to get up there and go into the universe? They've never thought it out because they left out God. Human beings and flesh cannot live in space. And I looked at it this way. So they get a whole colony off ongoing out into the universe, and they have a couple of generations, and they're a couple hundred light years away. And then the babies that are born there are grown up, and they say, we don't like this. We're going to rebel against it, and they're going to crash the whole thing in the middle of the universe. Okay? All right. Into the heavens. Let us establish a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered upon the whole face of the earth, the face of the whole earth. Okay? Now, they knew that they were going to go to their inheritances, and they didn't want to do it. All right? Now, let's look at some things here which are very important that we need to realize. Okay? Let's come to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And let's see, though this is applied to things religiously, this also applies to things in every field and activity of human endeavor. Okay? Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And here's what it is today. Because Satan, we'll see in, as we come back from the break, he is deceiving the whole world. Now, I might mention, I have a new church at home. What is the mark of the beast? Now, we're going to send that out on the DVD that goes with this. But that is the best explanation you could get for what is the mark of the beast. But we are dealing with evil in many layers. Like I've mentioned, religion, government, financing, business, medical, whatever it is. Okay? So here it says in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now, that's what we need to be concentrating on today. Getting close to God, understanding His word, obeying His commandments, loving Him. Now, the world has it. They want to have the love of God to them, but they want to go do their own thing all the time. They don't want to love God back. What is loving God back? With all your heart, mind, and soul? Well, it begins with keeping the commandments of God. And anyone who says they're done away is an agent of Satan, the devil, in the religious realm. Because God has never done away with them. Has He done away with heaven and earth? No, but He said His word will never pass away. Okay? Now, be strong in the Lord and the might of His strength. Put on the whole armor of God. What is the whole armor of God? The truth of God, the Spirit of God, living God's way. That's the armor of God. And withstanding the evil, don't be taken in by all of these things by men that appear really good, and it's going to lead to a lot of wealth and the best society we've ever had. No, it's going to lead to utter destruction unless Christ returns. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How smart is he? How clever is he? Very. He comes purring. He comes with benefits. He comes with knowledge. He comes with things that you may desire. That's how he comes. Then the evil comes in later. All right? Because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world rulers of darkness, against the spiritual power of wickedness in high places. Okay? That's where it is today. Spiritual wickedness in high places, meaning what? That they are led by Satan, they are led by demons, but to the people who watch them, they don't reveal all the evil that they really want to do. See? Now today, we have a glimpse of it in the American political system. We have a glimpse of it by the party called Democrat, and it's anything but Democrat. It's all totally fascist of what they want to do to control, to destroy, to bring in perversion, to get rid of truth, to get rid of God, to get rid of knowledge. And that's what they are for. Now, the American people have a choice in the election coming up. There may be some improvement if Trump gets in. But the population needs to look at the sins they are committing and repent of those. And the first place to start is by keeping the Sabbath of God, which he said, remember. And the whole Christian world says, forget. And keep Sunday. That is one of the greatest satanic lies in religion. All right? Now, he says this, therefore take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. Can you resist against evil? Can you put down evil? Resist evil in your heart and in your mind? Repent of those to God? That's all a part of it. Because God is not coming along with an easy one bite and everything is cured and simple. No. We have a battle ahead of us. All right? Now then, I want you to get what is the mark of the beast from churchathome.org, or it is on YouTube. Matter of fact, you can probably watch it on the same part of YouTube that you can rewatch this presentation that you just saw here. That will tell you, because this knowledge that you saw there is going to help develop a chip that is implanted. They already have it in Sweden, but not the ultimate one that is coming. The mark of the beast is already in Sweden. And other places, a little chip right here in the right hand. And I remember about 10 years ago, I gave a sermon on it when the first thing came out of inserting a chip in your hand, and it was called the digital angel. Okay? But now it's going to be developed. And AI that we just saw about, and how much they're going to do, and how much they can do, they will develop a chip that will know who you are, where you are, what you're thinking, what you're doing, who your friends are, what you buy, when you sleep, when you get up, when you go to the store, when you drive your car, and you will not be your own. Because it says in Revelation 14 that those who have the mark of the beast have no rest day or night. In other words, it's with you all the time. Let's see, it's about time for take another break, and we'll come back after that and we'll see what it says about Satan and what is going to happen in the world. And he's going to appear as a great angel of light, as we read. And fantastic and marvelous things are going to happen that Christ even warned that could deceive even the elect. And the elect are those who are the chosen, faithful, and begotten sons and daughters of God, who have the Spirit of God and believe God and obey God and love Him. See? And that's the battle we all have to face. And this whole world, we're going to see, is going to be enveloped by the powers of Satan the devil. So let's take a break and we'll come back and look into those. Now let's continue on with the message we have today, which then entails, this changes everything. Now, I will mention that online on truthofgod.org, we have another segment by Jensen Huang about the robots that they are making. And I think you will find this very interesting. See, God made man in His image. That's us. Man is making robots in His image to serve Him. Amazing thing. Now let's see what also we need to do. We're going to have, I want you to go to churchathome.org and watch what is the mark of the beast. This will be one of the best presentations of the mark of the beast that you will see. Now let's come here to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And let's look about Satan the devil. And let's look at the power that he has. And we are told, like we ended in the first segment, we are to have the armor of God. We are to resist Satan the devil. We are to love God. We are to keep His commandments, and we will see all of that in this segment here. All right? Let's see what Paul writes beginning in verse 1 in 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, having this ministry according as we have received mercy, we are not faint-hearted. No, as true Christians, we are not to be faint-hearted. We're not to give up. We do have a battle ahead of us. But here's the first thing to do. Verse 2, we have personally renounced the hidden things of dishonest gain. In other words, the carnal mind is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and everything is dishonest. Now then, look at what it is in business, in religion, in education, and everything in the world. It's all based on what? Dishonest gain. And not walking in cunning craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now that's a very interesting statement here. Because handling the word of God deceitfully means this. That someone reads it, and Jesus said there would be many false prophets coming in the last days. And they would quote certain points of Scripture, but mislead you. Why? Because they don't tell you the whole truth. And that's how they handle the Word of God deceitfully. But his ministry here, by the manifestation of truth, we are commending ourselves to every man's conscience before God. But if our gospel is hidden, that is, if the knowledge of God is hidden from people in the world, which it is, and they don't know it. Now, some of them are, most of them are very nice people. You can go up to them and talk to them, and they're nice and they're friendly and all of this. But they don't know that they are spiritually blind. They don't understand it. For example, I went into the bank one time, and there's this nice teller. She's very nice. Very sweet. And she treated me very nicely, and I'm very happy that she did. However, I ask her a question. Do you go to church? No. She doesn't know anything. Does she know that she is blinded by Satan? No. How many people are? We'll read in just a little bit. If our gospel is hidden, it's hidden to those who are perishing, in whom the God, now in Greek this is theos, the God of this age or this world, who is who? Satan, the devil. But the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. All right? The very first thing you come out from under the deception of Satan, the devil, is you believe the word of God is true. And you believe that those things that Jesus said to do, you do. The minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we do not preach our own selves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. Let's come to Revelation 12. And let's see what it says about Satan. And let's keep in the back of our mind what we've already covered in Luke, the fourth chapter, about how Satan would have given to Jesus the whole world at that time if he would have fallen down and worshiped him as God. Revelation 12 and verse 9. Now, this is a little bit that we cover in the Mark of the Beast, but it's good for us to know and understand this, okay? And a great dragon was cast down. Now, isn't it interesting? All the religions of the world have dragons or serpents, right? Every single one of them. Why? Because their God is Satan, who says he's God himself, but he's not. Great dragon was cast out, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, who is deceiving. Now this is a present tense participle, meaning ongoing, all of the time, deceiving what? The whole world. Not just part of it, not some of it, not half of it, but all of it. Except those who love God and keep his commandments. Deceiving the whole world, he was cast down to the earth and his angels are with him. Okay? Now then, let's see what else develops. And I want you to pay attention to what John saw. And later, we're going to pay attention to what Jesus told us that we would see. All right? Revelation 13 and verse 1. And I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and upon the heads the name of blasphemy. And I saw the beast that I saw was like a leopard, his feet the feet of a bear, his mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon, Satan the devil. Remember what Satan told Jesus, I will give you all this power. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. This is soon coming. Now, there are many other prophecies, and it would take another message to cover it. Verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as if it were slain to death, but his deadly wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. Now think about this. This is the leader of world government. The whole world was amazed and followed the beast. Now we've got a globe right here in our meeting room. The whole world. When it says the whole world here in the book of Revelation, it means the whole world. All right? Now notice what else they do. So you need to think about your life. What do you do? Who do you worship? Who do you believe? What do you practice? All of those things are being weighed in the balance of your life. Okay? Verse 4. And they worship the dragon. How did they worship the dragon? With all the false religions, with all the false scientific technology. All right? Who gave his authority to the beast? Now, isn't that what Satan told Jesus? I'll give you all this authority because it's mine and it was given to me and I'll give it to you. Well, he's going to give it to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who has the power to make war against him? So he's going to have a weapon that will be so strong, that will be so absolutely incredible, that it will bring a temporary peace on the earth. Okay? Now notice, if you think Hitler was eloquent, if you think Mussolini was eloquent, listen to this. And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue for 42 months. So when that beast power receives that deadly wound and comes back to life, then the great tribulation starts right here at that point. Now, we'll talk about that next week with the sign of the Son of Man and how Christ is going to return and the first resurrection. Because next week we have Sabbath, then the day after that we have Pentecost. And Pentecost is one of the most important holy days in the Bible. So if you've never attended any Pentecost, well, you go to truthofgod.org. We'll have it online. I don't know if we'll do live or not, but we'll have it online and you will see the message and what that means and what the first resurrection is and why the day of Pentecost is important. I'll just say this for all of you who never heard of the holy days of God. Every one of the days of God, Sabbath, Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, and last great day tells you the direct intervention of God into the world. And that's why Christianity out there in the world, deceived by Satan the devil, doesn't keep those days. Because if they did, they would know God. But they keep all of these satanic pagan days because they worship Satan and don't know it. All right, let's go on. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And he was given power to make war against the saints. All right, we're coming down to a choice for all of us in this age, depending on how long it is, the end time, and depending what your age is. That we may have to give our lives for the truth of God. That's called martyrdom. And it happened before in the church when it began, and it happened all during the Middle Ages. They slaughtered hundreds of thousands at the behest of the Pope of Rome. And it's coming again. So we need to look at that because that's truth. And you can't avoid it. You're either going to choose God and his way and what the end might be for you this way, or you're going to choose Satan and his way, and what will your end be? Okay, let's go on. And he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. A one world government by a man who will be called God in the flesh. Now he will have a partner, and that partner will be the false prophet. And together, they're going to enforce the mark of the beast. We'll read it. And as we have covered, and there are other things that we can bring out about it, which I'll bring out about it a little later on in other messages, they are going to develop a chip to put into everyone that not only buy and sell, but you will be captive of the beast and the false prophet and Satan the devil. Verse 11, I saw another beast rising out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan the devil. Okay? Watch what the Pope says. He's leaning more and more and more to accepting all the religions of this world as part of the way to God. But that is opening the door to Satan the devil. And the only one who is Holy Father is God in heaven above and not any man on the earth. He exercises all the authority of the first beast before him and causes the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound is healed. He's going to tell them, this is God manifested in the flesh. Okay? They will worship him. There will be miracles. And notice what kind of miracles. They'll be very convincing, right? And he performs great wonders so that he even causes fire to come down to the earth from heaven in the sight of men. Now, won't that be convincing to a lot of people? Yes, see? Because they will be deceived. And the power of Satan is going to be so strong. And everything is going to be so absolutely forced upon everyone. Now notice, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the means of the wonders that were given him to perform in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword, and yet was alive. They'll make hats, they'll make t-shirts, they'll make idols, make all of those things. It will be a euphoria that Adolf Hitler and his highest pinnacle of power never had. And he was given power to give life, or that is, to give a satanic spirit to the beast so that the image of the beast could both speak and cause everyone who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So the days ahead, now those are biblical days, right? Am I reading from the Bible? Am I reading prophecies that are in the Bible? Yes. Well, for those who were at that time, that's biblical time. The truth is, biblical time is right now for everybody everywhere. All right? And he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. In it, what will that mark be? It will be a highly sophisticated chip. And they have been working on this a long, long time. And that's why all the economies in the world are in trouble. Because in order to bring out the mark of the beast, you must have all the currencies collapse. And then you rescue them and you say, we have a new monetary system. And if you receive it, you'll be able to get whatever you need. If you don't, here's the guillotine line over here. Now it says here, so that no one may have the ability to buy and sell. Now remember, this has nothing to do with the days that they observe. It has to do with buying and selling. Now think about this today. Is there anything that you have that you don't buy or you don't sell? How many have gardens? And if you have a garden, do you have enough to raise your own food and store it up for a year and save the seed so you can plant next year? No. Such a very few people have that. You must go to the store. You must go to the drugstore, the department store, the grocery store, and you must buy, and you must sell. You're going to have electricity? You got to buy it. Think of it. Think of the control that's going to be there with the mark of the beast. Unless they had the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name, here is wisdom. Let the one who understands count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Number 666. That is the perfection of man in religion, in finance, and in education. There it is. All three. Let's come back to Matthew 24. And let's look at some of the prophecies here in Matthew 24, and let's see how that pertains to the last days and what we are to do and what we will see and how these things will come to pass. And we will see that it is presented in such a way that it applies to the end time. Now, let's start out where Jesus started out, Matthew 24 and verse 1. Because it comes from the time of Jesus speaking about the coming destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD and goes through all the prophecies and all the time, all the way down to a second coming in this one chapter. But all the details of how it fits together are found in other places of the Bible. They're all not right here. So that's why we have to, what Paul writes says, rightly divide the word of God in order to put it together. So let's look at what it is here. And let's understand this, that it did happen. Remember, God destroyed the temple in 586 BC, why? Because the Jews and some of the children of Israel who were with them, of the other 10 tribes, rebelled against God, worshiped other gods, were captive of Satan the devil. And God even gave the king an opportunity so the temple wouldn't be destroyed. And he was told, if you surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, you can live here in Jerusalem as a vassal king, and I won't destroy the temple. But he didn't believe Jeremiah. So he took his sons and he tried to sneak out at night and get away. And Nebuchadnezzar's troops caught them and found them, and Nebuchadnezzar came to the king and gouged out his eyes and killed his sons and burned the temple to the ground exactly as God said. Now that's history. So it's important for us to understand when Jesus tells us these things, that just as the prophets of old spoke, his words are as strong as, if not stronger, than the prophets, because he was the Lord God who inspired the prophets. Okay? So he's talking to his disciples. So verse 1. And as they were going out, Jesus departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to point out the buildings of the temple. But Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Now, circle C, because we're going to look at that. You must see it. Did the apostles see that happen? Yes, because it happened 40 years later. Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, there shall not be left here even a stone upon a stone that shall not be thrown down. So, all of you temple watchers, it's not where the Mosque of Omar is. Now, if you want a DVD that we have of Ken Klein about where the temple ought to be, well, you email us or write us or phone us and we'll send it to you. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him saying, tell us, when shall these things be and what shall be the sign of your coming? Then Jesus answered and said to them, be on guard so that no one deceives you. The very first thing that happens is that a false prophet comes along and takes you away from God. So he says, don't be deceived. For many, now remember the word many? Where do we begin? What was the first scripture we read in Daniel 12? Many shall go to and fro. Huh? Isn't that most of the people of the world? Yes. Well, many means almost all the prophets that there are, okay, professing in the name of Christ, didn't come from him. All right? Shall come in my name, saying I'm under Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you do not let these things disturb you. Okay, do we have wars and rumors of wars? Now, we're looking at things beginning with this that happened in cycles over and over and over again down through time until we come to the last thing right at the end, which we'll look at here in a minute. Okay? For it is necessary that all these things take place. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Isn't that happening today? Wars today, rumors of wars, race against race, people against people, hatred everywhere? Yes. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in different places. Have we seen that? Is that happening now? Yes, indeed. Has it happened down through history? Yes, indeed. All right. Now, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to affliction and shall kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. How many times has that happened in history? Over and over and over and over again. All right? Then many shall be led into sin. Now, isn't that what we're seeing today? You want to know what's wrong with America and the nations of the world today? They're being led into sin. Homosexuality, transsexualism, going against the commandments of God, keeping the pagan days of Satan the devil, all deceived. And shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Huh. Have we had demonstrations of hate today? Yes, indeed. And many false prophets. There's that word many again. See? Notice how many times Jesus brings it out. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because lawlessness. Now, what is lawlessness? Lawlessness means against law. Against the laws of God. Against the laws of decency in the different nations that don't have the laws of God. Okay? Isn't that true? How many coups have we seen? How many revolts have we seen? How many slaughterings have we seen? What did we see in World War II? All that were killed. What happened before that time with the Russians and the slaughtering of the Ukrainians and going back? How many times has this happened in history? All right, it's coming again. Lawlessness shall be multiplied, and the love of many shall grow cold. And isn't that true? Hasn't that happened? Yes, indeed. But the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. All right? Now, there are two ways to the end. Number one, the end of your life. And number two, the end of prophecies and the return of Christ. Okay? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. All right? How that's going to be carried out? God will make it happen. Those of you who are listening to it right now, you are hearing the gospel of the kingdom of God because Christ is coming and he's going to bring the kingdom. And that's the very first thing he said when he began his ministry. He came into Galilee and said, "Repent." Now, what does repentant mean? Repentance means quit sinning against God by breaking his laws. And believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he was the personal representative of the kingdom of God at that time. Okay? Now, let's go on. Therefore, now here's something, listen carefully. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. Now we come to a very interesting thing. Let's look at the word again, see. In like manner also, when you see all these things, not some of them, not most of them, but all. And what does it say, see? That's for this last generation, as we covered earlier. Can we see these things? Right now, you can turn on your television, and if they're giving a report on the war between the Jews and Hamas, bang, comes right up on your screen, right? If there's an earthquake that takes place, boom, it's up on your television screen. You can see it, right? If there's a famine, you can see it. If there are wars, you can see it. So this is talking about our generation right now. See, all these things, know that it is near, that is the return of Christ even at the doors. Truly I say to you, this generation shall in no wise pass away until all these things have taken place. Now notice verse 35, we'll emphasize this again, lest someone think that the words of in the Bible will perish. They won't. They will be enacted upon everything as God has said. The heaven and earth shall pass away. Question, is it still here? Yes, we're on it, right? Okay. My word shall never pass away. All right. Now, when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, the abomination of desolation did not take place before the destruction of the temple. Everything else up to it, except that, took place at that time. But remember what he said, when you see all of these things. That's why you find a parenthetical statement put here. The one who reads, let him understand. Now, Jesus didn't say that when he spoke these words. That was inserted there by the Apostle John when he canonized the New Testament, because he had the prophecy showing that there would be a temple in the end times, but it was destroyed, and he saw it destroyed. So he didn't know. So he put this here, the one who reads, let him understand. Okay? That's why we know, and we'll cover that on Pentecost, why there will be another temple built. Okay? Because that didn't happen. So Christ's return cannot happen until there is the abomination of desolation. Now, we will cover that on Pentecost the day after the next Sabbath. Now, verse 21, for then, that is, when you see the abomination of desolation, not just hear about it, but see it, and the whole world will see it. Just like we see everything today worldwide, you can just turn on your television and there it is in an instant. Everyone will see this. Okay? And when that happens, because the man of sin, the son of perdition, going into the holy place, claiming he is not God, and that brings on the beginning of the great tribulation. All right, that's what Jesus says. Verse 21, for then there shall be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again. Those are the days we are looking at ahead. So if you think right now, it's tough. It's going to get so tough, it's going to be unbelievable. And if you are not on God's side, you're in deep trouble. Either way, you may die. But if you die for Christ, then you'll be resurrected. Now notice the condition of the world at that time. For if those days were not limited, they are limited. We have the prophecies that show the great tribulation will be 3.5 years. There would no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be limited. Going to be a lot of false alarms, a lot of false doctrines, a lot of false preaching. Okay? Let's look and see how we can understand that we be right with God. Now, I'll pick the prophetic things up beginning on Pentecost, so we can see the whole cycle of all of this take place. And we can see that right now, that war between the Jews and Hamas is in preparation for building the temple. But it won't be built until it can be built in the right place and at the time that God determines that it shall be. Now let's come to John 14 and let's see what Jesus said that we need to be doing. All right? Now, prophecy is all interesting, and prophecy is important, and prophecy is good to know. But if you don't love God, and if you don't keep His commandments, knowing all the prophecies in the world isn't going to do you any good. Okay? Now, here's what Jesus said. All right? John 14. Let's come to verse 6. First part of it, he says, if I go away, I'll come again, I'll prepare a place for you. Okay? And Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. So Jesus answered him here in verse 6. Now think of this. I want you to understand about Christ. Not what a preacher may say to you, but what the words of God are telling you personally. That you must let enter into your mind and into your own heart. Jesus said to him, I am the way. There's no other way. All the other religions of the world will never get you anyplace. Those that call themselves Christian today are all false. And the truth, Everything has to be based on the truth of God, the Word of God, which is truth. And life, the life. And that's referring to eternal life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it, right?
Okay.
No one. See? If you don't know the true Jesus Christ, if you don't believe his word, if you don't obey what he says, and if you don't love him and God the Father, you have no salvation. And I don't care what Sunday-keeping church you go to. I don't care how good the preacher may be. I don't care if his smile is from ear to ear. He is a bald-faced liar. Let's come down here to verse 15. Very simple. All right? Now, I want you to remember this and understand it. Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, meaning he was the Lord God of the Old Testament who spoke the Ten Commandments and gave the Ten Commandments to Israel, which he gave, by the way, on the day of Pentecost, because God intervened into the world on that day to speak the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel. Then when the disciples began their ministry on the day of Pentecost, God entered into the world again spiritually by sending the Holy Spirit through the power of the speaking of the apostles, and all of them in their own languages could hear about the works of God. So if anyone says that all the holy days of the Bible are just ritual, you don't have to keep them, they're a bald-faced liar and know nothing about God. All right? Verse 15. If you love me, everyone wants the love of God to them. God wants love back to him from you. If you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. And what was the first thing he said when he was tempted by Satan the devil? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Right? And guess what? Not one word of the New Testament was written when he said that. Now notice, and I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that it may be with you throughout the age, even the Spirit of the truth. See, that's the power of God, the begettal from the Father, which gives you the begettal as a son or daughter of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ gives you the mind of Christ. Okay? Now then, let's come over here to verse 21. I want you to ask this question to yourself. Do I do what Jesus says here in verse 21? So let's read it. The one who has my commandments and is keeping them. So it's one thing to have them, but you must also keep them. That is the one who loves me. So if you say Jesus did away with the law, you don't love Jesus. And the one who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And this is what we need to be busy doing now. Yes, we have all of these prophecies. Yes, we have all of these things that are interesting and important. Okay, but the most important thing is our relationship with God. Do we love Jesus? Do we love the Father? Do we keep the commandments of God? All right? So Judas Iscariot couldn't understand how that Jesus would manifest himself to him. And the way Christ manifests himself to us is this. He lifts the blindness that Satan puts upon us so we understand his word. Verse 23, answered and said to him, if, as I say all the time with if, circle it, because it's conditional. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Now that means everything that he said. No picking, no choosing, no accepting and rejecting. It's all or nothing. And the Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Having the Spirit of God. That's the purpose of repentance and baptism. All right? Now notice verse 24, and we'll be pretty well through. The one who does not love me. Okay? Do you love God? John also wrote in 1 John 5, 2 and 3, that if we love God, we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Do you love God? Do you keep his commandments? Now notice, if you don't, if you don't keep anything of God, or if you keep all of the Sunday keeping stuff, you don't love God. Now you may think so, but you don't. The one who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So what you're dealing with is this. You have the opportunity to come to God the Father through Christ. Direct connection to God. What greater thing could you have in your life? See? So when you look at all of these prophecies and you look at all of these things that are taking place and you wonder, what's going on? What am I going to do? How am I going to live? How am I going to work? You better start coming to God and believing him and accepting what he has said and obey him and love him, and then you will be able to understand. Now, it is true. Just as Jesus said, it is true. We may have to die for him. And you think, oh, how horrible that would be. Well, remember this. Who died for you to have your sins forgiven? Huh? So this is where we are today. The world is rapidly coming to the climax at the end. And it's going to be absolutely awesome and startling. And those who know the truth of God will understand. And those who know God will love him and keep his commandments. Those who don't, they will be deceived by Satan the devil, and they will come to utter destruction because of all of the things coming upon the earth. And those are the things that are set before us in a prophetic pattern that if we take heed today, God will hear us and God will help us.